Amen. Thank you, worship team. Well, good morning, everybody. I am so glad to be back. But so you are having a guest speaker 2 weeks in a row here for Joshua. And just to share with you that my whole issue was not an illness. It was a reaction, a real ugly reaction to medication I was taking. That began attacking my body, and it just took a long, long time for it to get corrected and situated and straightened out. And I figured out it's the longest time in my 30-plus years of pastoring that I've been away from pastoring. That's horrible. I hate that. But anyways, it's a joy to see all of you here, and I'm so glad that all of you here. And if some of you heard that the thought of having surgery, no, that was never in the mix for me. So it never was a possibility. So it was just medicine. Yay, we love medicine. But anyways, it's a joy to be back. Now, last week, you had the joy of worshiping from a fire hydrant. Dr. Dan brought it all. He was only supposed to do two chapters, and then I was going to do two chapters and everything today. But he had unfailing mercy on me. And as we continue in the book of Revelation, and today we're going to be in chapter 12, so you can sit back and take a deep breath. We're only going to do one chapter today. And it is a beautiful chapter of Scripture. I want us to know that as we see Christ revealed in the book of Revelation, what we have here is a panoramic view of the whole Bible, the whole intent of God in concerning salvation in Jesus Christ, as well as the spiritual warfare and battle that is going on. I will declare this. If you are here today and you do not believe that there's a huge, huge spiritual warfare taking place around the Church of Christ today, the Church of God, you are being very foolish. I hate to be that blunt, but you're being that foolish. You are opening up your life to all the junk in the world. Secondly, if you don't believe what is declared here in the book of Revelation concerning the future, if you think it's some kind of a fairy tale or something, I will reiterate, you're being very foolish. Everything that is written here is written for our admonition, our edification. The purpose for you and I is for our lives to radically change as the truth is revealed to us. This passage just graciously, wonderfully points out the truth of God's wonderful, unfailing, uncompromising love for his people. Unreal in what this chapter reveals. And I told you as a panoramic view, I'm going to give you just two portions of Scripture that you can read along with me that really bring it to point. In Genesis 12, starting with verse 2, with Abraham, God's telling Abraham, I will make you a great nation, and I will bless you and make your name great, and you shall be a blessing. And I will bless those who bless you, and I will curse those who curse you. And in you, all the families of the earth shall be blessed. What a promise. What a covenant God made with Abraham. And it started actually in chapter 3 at the fall when the Lord said to Satan that there was going to be enmity between his seed, those are the angels that followed him, and her seed, Eve's seed, human race. There would be this enmity. They would be at odds, and literally because Satan hates God so much, he hates God's people as well. And this chapter captures it. But in the midst of that, he gave us Genesis 12 and this covenant that he repeats again and again throughout the Old Testament with David and so on. But we just get a glimpse. And then we see it fulfilled in Matthew chapter 1, starting with verse 18. It says this blessing comes to fruition. Now the birth of Jesus Christ was as follows, and his mother Mary was betrothed to Joseph before they came together. In other words, before they had relations. She was found with a child by the Holy Spirit. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man and not wanting to make her a public example, was minded to put her away secretly. But while he thought on these things, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take to you Mary your wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit. And she will bring forth a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, and he will save his people from their sins. So all this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the Lord through the prophet, saying, Isaiah, behold, a virgin shall be with child and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which is translated God with us. You see, God did this miraculous, wonderful thing because he knew, because of our own sin, our personal sin, there was absolutely no way we could handle that. We had no way we could get rid of it. It separated us from the holy creator of the universe. And so before time began, he had this plan to send his son so that you and I could have salvation through him, through the forgiveness of sins and our faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. What we call salvation. Something that each one of us have to do individually. You cannot do it for your spouse. You cannot do it for your child. You cannot do it for your parent. You cannot do it for your sibling. You cannot do it for anybody else. It is something where your heart has to be drawn to the reality and humbled through the reality of your personal sin and your separation, and that God's plan is real and true. This chapter captures all of that, from the beginning of Genesis through the end of Revelation. And we ought to celebrate all that we have in Christ this day, because he is the Lord of lords and King of kings. He is the Lord Jesus Christ, our Savior. Amen. Let's pray. Our Father and our God, as we jump into chapter 12, Lord, I yearn for your spirit to be at work in me, here in this place, through every person within the sound of my voice, whether it's on the live stream or here in this room or downstairs. Father, what we see today is the most vitally important issue for every single individual heart today. And so, Lord, I pray that you would open up our hearts wide to your word. And as Joshua has already prayed, that we would see that it would fall on very, very fertile soil in our hearts and lives, and that it would take deep root, and that it would make a difference in our lives. For your glory and your glory alone. For it's in your Son's name we pray. Amen. Revelation chapter 12, the unfailing, uncompromising love of God. I want us to understand that the unfailing, uncompromising love of God provides his faithful victory for all eternity. I want you to pause and just think about that for a second. You know, as a husband, I wish I had unfailing, uncompromising love for my wife. But I know I blow it every now and then. I get selfish. I don't know about you. I know even with my children, I got selfish from time to time. And I didn't have an unfailing, uncompromising love. What we're talking about is a perfect love. It is a never-ending love that God has for his people, his creation. And you know, in our world, because of all the abuses and all the junk that's happening in the world, there's far too many people that believe this lie of Satan. I'm unlovable. I've done the wrong things. I've lived the wrong way. I made foolish decisions. Whatever, you fill in the blank. But I want you to know, I want you to hear, nothing, absolutely positively nothing can stop the love of God from penetrating your heart if you respond to him in faith through the Lord Jesus Christ. I want you to believe that. I want you to understand that because it is true. It isn't something that an old man up here is trying to declare. It is something that this book reveals time and time again. And so God's uncompromising love provided a Savior. Look at verses 1 and 2. We're going to go through the first six verses. Provided the Savior. Notice what it says. Now a great sign appeared in heaven, and a woman clothed with the sun and with the moon under her feet, and on her head a garland of 12 stars. Now that woman, you know, there is a group of people in across the world that believe that that is Mary. And I want you to know it's not Mary. There's a group of people in the world that also believe other things that think it's Mary Baker Eddy. It's not that Mary either. Hey, I just want you to know it's neither one. If you just read it at that verse, that's what you would think. Now, what you see there is also Joseph's dream of the stars and the moon. Now, notice verse 2. And being with child, she cried out in great labor and in pain to give birth. And we just read about that. And so I want you to believe this as you consider that God's uncompromising love provided the Savior. I want you to know that in it we can trust his word. From cover to cover, we can trust his word. Isn't that a good thing? It is so true. It is so real. I often refer to it as God's love letter from him to us because it reveals this great love that we have. Notice what verses 3 and following declare. And another sign appeared in heaven. Behold, a great fiery red dragon, having 7 heads, 10 horns, 7 diadems on his heads. His tail drew a third of the stars of heaven and threw them to the earth. And the dragon stood before the woman and was ready to, who was ready to give birth and to devour her child as soon as it was born. And she bore a male child, who was to rule all nations with a rod of iron. And her child was caught up to God and his throne. Now, I want us to see there that this is Satan. This is Satan. He is there. He does not want God's plan of salvation revealed. He doesn't want Christ to have the victory. That's why when Christ is growing, we see Satan taking him into the desert to tempt him, to try to get him away from worshiping all that is God, because he is God, and he just isn't going to bow down to him. And I know that there's a lot of discussion about what the horns and the heads and the diadems all reflect, and we're not going to go into that today, but I just want you to know that Satan and a third of the angels fell in heaven. Satan, the great I Ams that are recorded in Scripture of how he fell, because he declared he would be God and that he would overrule God. And God said, well, no, that's foolish thinking. It's just not going to happen. And he fell, and he got a third of the angels to follow him. So within that, there's a, we don't know how many angels God created total, but there's a lot, you know, more than we can count, more than we can think. And the reality is the spiritual warfare, him and his emissaries, is very, very real. Now, I want you to catch this. They are not omniscient, omnipresent, or the third one, pardon? Omnipotent. They are not. They're just around. They do not know the mind of God. We cannot give them too much power, but yet we have to believe the reality of how they want to trip us up. They know our weaknesses and our failings, and they want to trip us up. So he has provided the Savior. And then verse 6 is such a blessing. And then the woman fled into the wilderness where she has a place prepared for her that they should feed there 1,260 days. All right. So now we know that the woman is not Mary. The woman is the nation of Israel. What we see here is the first 3.5 years, that days, there are the first 3.5 years of the tribulation period. And there will be a covenant that is made with Israel that will be a peaceful covenant after the church has been raptured, that the Antichrist and everybody will come to agree upon, which we would also see the 10 rulers of the world also come together in power. The world would become global in its government during that time with the vacuum of the church that is formed when we are raptured, those who are truly in Christ. And so what we see here is they're protected for 3.5 years. And so in the reality of his uncompromising love, he has provided the Savior. He has kept his word. He honors his son, and he will take care of his people. And in this case, it is Israel while we are gone. Now, we also know that during the tribulation, lots of other people are going to get saved because of, and you've already met them, the 144,000, emissaries or the missionaries that are going to go out from Israel. And within that, and I'll tell you, plus the 2 that you met last week, the gospel is still going to be preached, and the Holy Spirit is still going to be tugging at the hearts of the lost. We've also seen that many wicked people are going to still stiff arm and reject God. Every single person here, you and me, we've all had to make that choice whether or not we're going to trust Christ and God's plan in Jesus Christ and salvation, or whether we're going to reject it. Whether or not we want to be a child of God and believe that God provided the Savior, that which he started way back in the beginning, knowing that there would be the fall of sin and that would happen within life. And he always provides this faithful victory, and it's from eternity past to eternity future. And what a joy. You know, I've been on this earth almost 70 years now. Far too close to 70. The thought of it is, yeah, life can be tough sometimes. And sometimes I think that it's been, just a whisper. It's happened so quickly, you know. I still remember our firstborn being born, you know. And gosh, you know, that was almost 50 years ago. Oh, I'm sorry, my son turned 50. But anyways, it is just that whisper, but yet at other times it seems like it's been horribly long. But I want you to know it's just a vapor compared to eternity. And each of us will spend eternity future either in the presence of the true living God, loving God of the universe, or absent from him in a place called hell. So it's either heaven or hell. There is no other place in between. Don't let anybody deceive you that there is any place in between, and it's you and I. We have to realize, and we have to believe that God has provided his Savior for the world so that John 3:16 could be something that would be very real. John 3:16 could blossom. You know, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should never perish but have everlasting life. Amen? Amen. And it's confession with the mouth, believe in the heart. With that, God's uncompromising love, I want you to know he has totally accomplished salvation. Completely. He provided the Savior, and he has accomplished it. Look at verses 7 through 9. And war broke out in heaven. Michael and his angels fought with the dragon. The dragon and his angels fought, but they did not prevail, nor was there a place found for them in heaven any longer. And that great dragon was cast out, that serpent of old, called the devil, Satan, who deceives the whole world. He was cast to the earth, and his angels were cast out with him. Now, if you want to think of this purging that's happening in heaven, I want us to understand that Satan to this day has access to God in heaven for whatever reason, and he accuses you and I all the time. Yeah? Do we blow it? Yeah, yeah, look at that pastor guy down there, yeah. Do you see what he just did or hear what he just said? You know, he's accusing. He thinks he's your child, you know, and things like that. He does that. Now, heaven is going to be swept clean of him and his emissaries at this midpoint within the tribulation, totally swept clean, and he will not be allowed to do that. We see that this accomplished salvation comes to real reality when you and I truly believe that Satan and his emissaries are defeated foes. He's defeated. The cross defeated him. It rendered him totally, totally impotent to be able to impact any child of God's soul. You and I are sealed by the Holy Spirit of God. The very moment you and I trust Jesus Christ as our Savior, you and I are kept by him. What a joy. What a blessing. He is completely defeated. Is the battle real? Yeah. Do we have the spiritual warfare going on? Yes. Is it challenging? Yes. Can it be hard at times? Yes. But I want us to know that God has always provided the victory, and he continues to provide it for each one of us if we walk by faith, if we want to be led by the Spirit, if we want to live in the Spirit, if we want to walk by the Spirit consistently in our daily life, then you and I will blossom, and the fruit of the Spirit will be revealed in our lives and our hearts moment by moment through each day. Why? Because he's provided this salvation. Satan has been defeated. Notice how the salvation is really settled. Look at verse 10 with me. Then I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, now, salvation and strength in the kingdom of God and the power of his Christ has come, and the accuser of our brethren who accused them before our God day and night has been cast down. Now, Christ is in heaven. We know the scrolls, and we're going to fast approach the end times of the last 3.5 years. And if you think the judgments have been harsh at this point, they're only going to multiply now that Satan is kicked out of heaven and his emissaries. And it's all because Christ has accomplished it all. He has declared salvation belongs in him. I am the way, the truth, and the life. Jesus Christ said, no man comes to the Father but through me. It is settled. And all of God's people said, amen. And so if you're here today and you've never trusted Christ as Savior, may I say, today's the day. Today's the day. Because as we see this, you and I need to understand that the victory is only through the blood of Christ. Notice verses 11 and 12. And they came upon and they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb, by the word of their testimony. And they did not love their lives to the death. Therefore, rejoice, O heavens, and you who dwell in them. Woe to the inhabitants of the earth and sea, for the devil has come down to you, having great wrath, because he knows now that his time is a short time. He knows soon he's going to be locked away for 1,000 years, and then he's going to be judged and thrown into the pit. He knows that that time has come, and the end times are very, very real. You know, the blood of Christ, yeah, I love that old hymn, "What can wash away my sin? What can make me whole again? Oh, precious is the soul that makes thee white as snow. No other fount I know, nothing but the blood of Jesus." Now, probably a third of you have never heard that song before. And I don't have the right voice to sing it, but do you hear it? The truth of it? You and I have to be washed by the Savior's blood. That's where repentance, confession happen. And the wonder of what God does in that moment, cleansing us and allowing us to be as white as snow. God's unfailing, uncompromising love has accomplished salvation. Turn with me to Colossians chapter 1. Many of you know that this is a favorite passage of Scripture for me. Colossians chapter 1, just back a few pages in your Bible. And go to verse 9. Verse 9. He's already commended them for their faith and the hope that they walk in all the time, which is reserved in heaven. Now, notice what he says. "For this reason, we also, since the day we heard it, we do not cease to pray for you and to ask that you may be filled with the knowledge of his will and all wisdom and spiritual understanding." Now pause there. He's praying for this church. I want you to know, since day one, I have prayed over this church, this prayer, consistently, week in and week out, for all who enter the door, that they would understand the will of God and that they would grow in all wisdom and true understanding. Verse 10, "and that you may walk worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing him, being fruitful in every good work, increasing in the knowledge of God." I prayed for that over me as well as you, wanting to be constantly pleasing the Savior that saved my wretched soul, strengthened with all might according to his glorious power, for all patience and long suffering with joy, wanting us to grow that way together as a body of believers, as a family of God, and wanting to see exactly what God has done, and God has blessed that. And I want you to start praying this for yourself. I want you to start praying that for your lost loved ones. I want you to start praying that for your family who is wayward. I yearn for you to do that. Verse 12, and giving thanks to the Father who has qualified us to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light. In other words, he's given us this blessing in the future that we don't deserve, and we will be partakers of it. Verse 13, he has delivered us from the power of darkness. He has conveyed us into the kingdom of the Son of his love. He has done this. It is past for the believer. It is true for the believer. We have been delivered. We are promised the kingdom of his love. In whom, verse 14, we have redemption. How? Through his blood, the forgiveness of sins. That is how it has all been brought to pass, and he is sharing this in this panoramic view of the Bible. He is sharing with us his wonderful, unconditional, unfailing, uncompromising love for us. God's uncompromising love, unfailing love also protects the saved. Notice back in Revelation chapter 12, starting with verse 13. Now we get down to the nitty-gritty. Now when the dragon saw that he had been cast to the earth, he persecuted the woman, Israel, that covenant's going to be broken, who gave forth the male child. His persecution is going to just grow. And his hatred towards Israel and the bear and everybody are going to come down on Israel. But I also want you to know that those who are being saved, who reject the mark of the beast, the mandate to get the mark of the beast, to shop, to do certain things, guess what? They will all be persecuted as well. Many of them will literally lose their heads through the old-fashioned guillotine. What religion, you know, awful religion or tangent of a good religion reveals the fact that they want to behead Christians. And we will see it happening. It will happen during that time in the tribulation period. It will be ugly. It will be bad. His torment of Israel becomes real. And I want us to also to know that guess what? God's provided that victory, and only God is able to save and rescue his people. Notice how it continues on. But the woman was given two wings of a great eagle. She might fly into the wilderness place, and she is nourished for a time and a times and a half time, another 3.5 years from the presence of the serpent. In other words, in that last 3.5 years, those who are sealed will be, even though he wants to persecute them. So the serpent spewed water out of his mouth like a flood after the woman. He might cause her to be carried away by the flood, but the earth helped the woman, and the earth opened up the mouth and swallowed up the flood which the dragon had spewed out of his mouth. Now, this is imagery, to be sure, all of it throughout it, but what we see here is he's going to give this one last push, and I believe it is the flood of the war leading up to Armageddon that will be devoured. And then verse 17, and the dragon was enraged with the woman, and to make war with the rest of her offspring who keep commandments of God and have a testimony of Jesus Christ. Now, you look at that, yeah, and I want you to know he can get as enraged as he wants to be. And I don't know if you've ever seen anybody in complete rage or not. Unfortunately, I have just lost control. It doesn't matter. Satan's defeated. He has been. And so the question is, how do we respond? How do we walk in light of these truths, these beautiful biblical truths, that God has provided a Savior, He's accomplished salvation, and the fact that He is going to protect those who are saved and the nation of Israel? You know, we see here how that protection happens for all the children of Jesus Christ. You know, you and I, we can always become comfortable and complacent. And they put this up here for me today for some reason. But I'm going to get comfortable for a second. Can we all be guilty of becoming complacent? Aloof with our faith? If a chapter doesn't challenge us to say, hey, wake up, what are you doing? Because that opens up the door for the activity to begin to where we would backslide away from Jesus Christ. And our spiritual hearing will become deadened, if you will. And we become those people who would, who cares? Who cares? I don't know about you, but I don't want to get there. I want to remain vibrantly alive in Jesus Christ, knowing that His plan, His unfailing, His uncompromising love is always available, and He yearns to pour it out into your life and my life every moment of every day through the power of His Spirit. You know, I was reading a book one time, Hurrying Big for Little Reasons. And it describes something that happened in spring. In the springtime. All of a sudden, maybe you've seen the activity of the fall, where you have this wedge of these flying things flying through the sky, and the geese are just honking all the way, and they fly in this wonderful V. How many of you have ever seen that? Yeah. Well, in the spring, a flock of geese had nestled and settled around a lake that did not freeze. Especially out a little bit, you know, naturally if they got to the shore. And I'm speaking of a place in New York. And I want you to know I had a friend, if they got in too close to the shore and they actually got frozen in the ice, my friend foolishly would go out and chop them out, bring them in, put them next to a wood stove, and then kick them out after they had thawed. Literally, he would do that. But these geese, you know, winter had ended where they should be migrating north, they would just sit there. And many of them actually, because they were so fat from everything that was provided for them around the lake, got so fat and without flying, they lost the ability to fly. Boats would run over them because they had become lazy, complacent, and comfortable where they're at. And I'm just pleading with you. To me, the transition's complete. Joshua is your pastor. He loves you. He loves you a lot. Some of you don't know him yet. Well, take a moment to get to know him. He's a good guy. And I'm going to plead with you as the planting pastor here. Don't get complacent. There's a lost world out there crying, looking, searching for the truth. And they want to hear. Will some stiff arm you? Will some laugh at you? Will some mock you? Yeah, it will happen. But I want you to know you're going to be so, so blessed by those who will hear the unfailing, uncompromising love of Jesus Christ through you, through me. We are vessels of that, literally conduits of that. That's God's gracious, wonderful plan. He gave you and I purpose wherever he plants us, you know, for his glory and his glory alone. And I just plead with you. This panoramic view is true. It's real. Some of it's already happened. Some of it's going to happen in the future. And guess what? If you're a child of God, you're going to miss some of it because you will be taken home. And I know this. I love also 2 Corinthians 5. And if you'll turn there with me in closing. I was reading 1 Corinthians 5 and the words didn't make sense to what I wanted to share. 2 Corinthians 5. Notice what it says in verse 9. Based upon everything that God has brought to pass, he goes, therefore, we make it our aim, whether present or absent, to be well-pleasing to him, who? The Lord. Knowing, for we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that each one may receive the things done in his body according to what he has done, whether good or bad. Knowing, therefore, the terror of the Lord, we persuade men, but we are well known to God, and I shall trust we are well known in our own consciences. We will all be before the judgment seat of Christ. Now I'm talking to Christians right at this moment, those who have trusted Christ. Those who have not trusted, they'll be at the bema seat, at the great white throne judgment. Notice what it says in verse 12 and following down to the end of the chapter. For we do not commend ourselves again to you, but give you opportunity to boast on our behalf, that you may have an answer for those who boast in the appearance and not in heart. In other words, they're big facade. They don't really believe in their heart. For if we are beside ourselves, it is God. For if we are sound mind, it is you. For the love of Christ, the unfailing, uncompromising love of Christ compels us, because we judge thus, that if one died for all, then all died. And if he died for all, that those who live shall live no longer to themselves, but for him who died for them and rose again. Therefore, from now on, we regard no one according to the flesh. For even we have known Christ according to the flesh, yet now we know him thus no longer. Paul knew about him. He tormented the church. He went after the church. Therefore, if anyone is Christ, he is a new creation. We become this new creation. Old things are to pass away, and behold, all things become new. And now all things are of God, who has reconciled us to himself through Jesus Christ and given us the ministry of reconciliation. That is, God was in Christ, reconciling the world to himself, changing that position from a sinner separated to God to the family of God, not imputing their trespasses to them, and has committed to us the word of reconciliation. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ, that through God, we're pleading through us. We implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God, for he made him who knew no sin to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in Christ. There it is, folks. If you don't know Christ as Savior, trust him today. we're going to, when we invite the, and I'm going to invite the worship team up, we'll have two folks on each side to pray with you. And if you've never trusted Christ as Savior, you can do it right where you're sitting. It's a simple prayer, asking Christ to forgive you your sins and to trust him as your personal Savior because you believe he came and accomplished that and God, that God provided. Maybe you just want to pray for others, and I'm going to plead with you. Start praying that Colossians 1 prayer for others. Pray it for yourself. Grow in Christ. Why? Because we need to grow as ambassadors. We need to represent Jesus Christ in this crazy, mixed-up world because people are looking for a reason of hope. They're looking for a reason to live. They're looking for purpose. They need to see it through us. RMC Ellicott's a good place to be, but the world needs you. Amen. Let's stand and close our time in prayer. Our Father and our God, Lord, I just thank you again for this opportunity, the joy of this responsibility of declaring your word truthfully. And Father, how I plead before you that if there's one here in this place this day who has never trusted Christ as Savior, that they would remove all the facades and all the junk that is there, their pride, and might they just humble themselves and just call out, saying, oh God, forgive me, I'm a sinner. And I trust your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, to be my Savior. And I believe that deep in my heart, with all my soul, save me today. And I know you'll save them if it's true, that they believe it deep in their heart. And for the rest of us, we all know that we have those who are just walking away, angry at God. Oh, Father. Give us the words of comfort and joy. Use us as you draw them to yourself to become bathed in your unfailing, uncompromising love through the blood of Christ. Meet every need of every heart here. Whoever's hurting, needs encouragement, might they have hope today because it's done.